And so we're going to continue today with our learning about serving God and what it means to step out in faith and what it means to fall into the sin of presumption. And in our Christian life, we will see that these are the two extremes that that you can go in, extremely to the right, just stepping out in faith and trusting that God is going to perform that miracle for you. But the other extreme is the sin of presumption. And that is to presume that what you desire is what God desires, and therefore you're going to go ahead and do it. And I know all of us at this stage in our lives, we have all gone to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, there's this particular need. Should we buy this automobile? How many of you have ever prayed about a big purchase? Okay. Should we buy this house? You know, we come to the Lord and we want some guidance. And that's why He gives us the Holy Spirit, so that He can give us some guidance. And so there are times in our lives when we go to the Lord and we are sincerely asking for some guidance here. But then there are other times, and this is the danger of when you've walked with the Lord for, you know, much more than 10 or 15 years, is that you begin to presume how He's going to do things. Now, when I graduated from seminary, I will have to tell you that I was the sole repository of all of the things about God. If you wanted to know about God, come to me and I would tell you. I will tell you how He answers prayers, why He answers prayers, and all that good stuff, because by golly, I had these initials after my name, and I was somebody important. And so I even went so far as to write a systematic theology. Now, you probably haven't heard of a systematic theology unless you've gone to seminary. And that's going to be a series of books that teach theology, a systematic theology, where the author systematically goes through all of the concepts and attitudes of God and angels and man. You've got all of these sub-chapters to theology, anthropology, the doctrine of man, angelology, the doctrine of angels, all these different things. And these people that have written these systematic theologies, I mean, it's a volume of books, takes up about this much room on your bookshelf, because it really goes in depth. And I decided, well, I've seen enough mistakes in some of these other people's writings that I really needed to write my own systematic theology to just put the record straight. Finally, God will have somebody He can go to and be able to show the world what God really does. So I wrote out the systematic theology. And then an interesting thing happened. For the next couple of years, God seemed to go out of His way to show me that, no, He doesn't act that way. Well, if you're in this situation, this is what you do it, and this is how God's going to respond. And He said, No. And so all this time and energy that I spent into formulating the systematic theology, basically it's just a way to pigeonhole God. This is what He'll do in this situation. This is what He'll do in this situation. If you pray this way for this situation, then this is what's going to happen. And you know what? The Bible says, my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Amen? My thoughts are not your thoughts. And about the time you think you've got God figured out, He's going to take great joy in showing you to be the fool. All right? That's just the way that He is. And we have to just depend, go to Him as little children. Depend on Him as our Heavenly Father. Get to know His Word so that we know, according to His Word, who He is and what He does and you know, what He has proclaimed about Himself, because God doesn't change. God is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent or change His mind, all right? And so His Word is going to tell you about the character of God, and the character of God doesn't change. All right? Now, the way that he manifests that character is going to be appropriate to the specific circumstance, which is going to be different for each one of us. So if you come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I'm going through this thing, you know, how can you counsel me? I would be tempted to say, well, you know, back in the day, Sister Karen and I went through the very same thing, and let me tell you what we learned. What we learned is just hold on and pray for dear life. Okay? That's what we learned. Okay? Because by the time you think you've got God figured out, He's going to show you something entirely different. And so, I was, by doing this, I was guilty of the sin of presumption. That I knew how God was going to respond in whatever situation that I found myself in. And I have given you the story before also that there was a time when I was the executive secretary and the executive VP, as a matter of fact, of a certain corporation. We were the largest of its kind in the United States, third largest in the world. And we met for prayer and Bible study every weekday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. We were there studying the Word of God and praying. We taught the shop foreman how to read out of the Word of God. Because even though he was a shop foreman, he was illiterate. And so we said, okay, sir, we taught him how to read phonetically. And so he learned how to read from those weekday morning Bible studies and prayer meetings. And in 3.5 years, I mean, starting from nothing to being the biggest of its kind, and we always attributed it to God's blessings. We love Jesus. We were faithful in our tithes and offerings, you know, to our churches. And all of our blessings were due to God. And it got to be that, you know, we would pray and God would answer prayers. I can tell you one time, somebody had come to us and said, I need a certain amount of money. This was for a Christian event. And we were just starting out. We didn't have a lot of money in the bank. And he needed a certain amount of money. And so when we came in, when I came into my boss's office in the morning, he says, we need to get on our knees, and we're going to stay on our knees until God gives us an answer. And I said, gotcha. And so we turned around in our chairs and got on our knees on the floor, and we just prayed and prayed and prayed. And then just suddenly the peace of God came over me, and I turned around and I sat down in my chair. And a couple minutes later, my friend, he got up, turned around in his chair, and he says, well, did you hear from God? And I said, I sure have. And he says, well, what did you hear? And I said, you're not going to like it. And he says, yeah, everything, isn't it? I says, yeah, we have to empty the checking account. And this is on a Tuesday, and we've got payroll on Friday. But God said, everything. That's not our money. But God said, everything. So we wrote the check out for everything, emptied out the checking account. In 2 days, God had replaced that money with 4 times the amount that we had in there. I mean, it was just a miracle. That's all I can say to explain it is, it is a miracle. And what happened there was that God was getting this man ready for a particular type of ministry on a kingdom level. That God was going to raise this man up and so prosper him that he would be able to give millions to Christian ministries all around the world. And so he was putting this guy through a special kind of training, something that none of us would be called upon to go through because there's not too many of us that are given those kind of resources. But this is what happened, and Bob was, I wasn't going to say his name. Anyhow, this guy was faithful to write out the check, And after that, like I said, in 3.5 years, we're the biggest in the United States, third largest in the world. And then after 3.5 years, I mean, this is great. People are inviting to go on crusades and stuff like that. And yes, this is wonderful. And we begin to take prayer for granted. And somebody would say, I know you guys pray, and I want you to pray about this particular matter. And we would go to prayer, but we kind of had already made up our minds beforehand. Because after all, this is what God does. This is how God uses us to give away this kind of money. And so we hired a guy, needed a purchasing manager, and after we hired him, he said, "Hey, I appreciate the job. I just have to tell you that I'm kind of in a bind. I've got this outstanding amount of money that I owe, this debt." And our response was, "Well, let's pray about it, and we'll see what God says." And we had already decided, we're going to give this guy the money. So we did. We gave the guy this money. You know what happened? As it turned out, funny story, God had backed this guy into a corner because he had been unfaithful with his finances. And so God had allowed this guy to get in this financial mess, and Dale and this other gentleman swooped in and rescued him. We stepped into God's place. It's called the sin of presumption. And inside of a month, our company was bankrupt. We went from riding high to robbing Peter to pay Paul. I mean, it was rough. And we recognized what we did, and ultimately, long story short, very long story, we repented, and God came around, and within a year, we had to change the name of the company and all that good stuff, but again, we were the biggest company of its kind in the United States. But you see, we should never presume upon the will of God. There are certain things that God tells us. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. So God wants, when it comes to God's will, He wants everybody to be saved, right? Yes, He does. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's will is that the world is going to be saved. Alright? But how He does that is up to Him, not up to me. Amen? And so we find ourselves in a situation where it's easy for us to presume upon God. Now, there are certain things we don't have to presume about. We're going to be faithful with our tithes and offerings because that's just how the church is controlled. We're going to be faithful with sharing. If somebody needs to hear a word of encouragement, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father. So we're going to do our part in bringing the joy of God to those around us. But there are going to be times when we're going to be called upon to participate or to do certain things, and we ought not to say, "Yes, I'm going to pray about it," unless we decide that we are going to pray about it and not, in the course of saying those prayers, tell God what we're fixing to do. Because that's what a lot of us do. "God, you're just going to have to do this." And no, He doesn't have to. And God really brought this home to Terry and I just a couple weeks ago. Because Terry has been in the hospital for heart problems bunches of times. You have, what, 5 stents? Yeah, okay. So she's been in the hospital a bunch of times for heart problems. And we go into the hospital, And we've got the best doctors in the world and the world's biggest medical center and all that good stuff. And we go in and we say, okay, Jesus, Terry's going into the hospital. We need for you to direct the hands of the doctors. We need for you to give wisdom to the nurses and the technicians. And Father God, we're just trusting that when Terry comes out of the hospital, her heart's taken care of. And this last time we did just that, and guess what? The doctor says, I'm sorry, Mr. Climie, but there's nothing we can do. What is wrong with her heart is inoperable, was the word that he used. I didn't want to hear that. Matter of fact, I got pretty upset about it. Matter of fact, I had some words with God. And praise God, as a matter of fact, He didn't turn me into a pile of ashes. Because I was presuming upon His mercy for a while there. Not saying as much, but all was I mad. All was I mad until He showed me that even in this, I was guilty of the sin of presumption. I was presuming that God was going to, just like He has, all the other times, He's always done this, and so we'll just one more time go in. We're familiar with the whole preparation procedure and all this, and boom, 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 this is going to happen, and she's going to be released from the hospital that afternoon, and I'm going to take her home, and she's going to go to a month of rehab, and everything's going to be fine. Not this time. What is God doing? I have the last idea what God is doing. He's God. I am simply the pot. He's the potter. I'm the clay. And just as the potter is not under any obligation to tell the clay what he's fixing to make it up and do, God is under no obligation to explain to me what He's doing. And so, folks, I have said this time and again, and I'll say it again. There are times in our lives when all we have to hang on to is the fact that God loves us and He's going to do what's best for us. He is going to do what's best for us. And we don't know what's best for us. We don't. In my mind, what's best for us is Terry gets healed right now. Let that doctor go and do the whatever he does, and poof, she's healed. All right? That's my idea. My idea of what's best for us. It just didn't have to be God's idea about what's best for us. And it's during those times that we have to collapse into God's loving arms. There's no energy left to do anything else. All of my options have been taken. There are no more options. It is only God. We received the same thing about our granddaughter. What she has is part of the autonomic nervous system. You cannot surgically intervene in the autonomic nervous system. It's this part up here that controls your heartbeat. It controls your breathing. It's your automatic nervous reflexes. And that's the part that's damaged, and medical science dare not go there. Well, they can give some medications, like, because that's if you have epilepsy, that's the part of your brain that's involved in epilepsy, and so they figured out some medications that can go there and kind of diminish the effects of whatever damage is there, but medical science can't go there. So that means it has to be God. And I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, that is the hardest thing that I've ever done. See, I'm a fixer. Okay? And we like to think of ourselves, each of us. We're fixers. Our kids come to us, our grandkids come to us, uncle, grandpa, how do I take care of this? What should I do? We are the sole reservoir of knowledge in our families. All we are is old. Okay? And loved by God. And hopefully our families love us a little bit too. All right? And so we are going to be called upon to go through some things. And we are going to have to do our very best to be, number one, be obedient to the Word of God. Because God's will is revealed to us in His Word. And so when Terry was sick, God's Word said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church that they'll anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall raise them up. And so I did that. Terry and I had communion at the house, and I took out the anointing oil, and I anointed her. So now I have done everything that the Word of God tells me that I'm responsible for. Okay, that's important. But don't go to God, oh God, I need you to do something, when you haven't done what He's already told you to do. Okay, first you do what He's told you to do, and then you let Him respond. All right. So I made sure that I did what the Bible tells me to do, anointed with oil, prayer, the prayer of faith, and I'm just waiting for that prayer of faith to raise her up. Okay? But now comes the hard part. And that is to trust in Father God. Amen? If you read any of my social media, you'll see that I use the term Father God a lot. Because He is God of the whole universe, but we have a special relationship with that God of the whole universe. He is our Heavenly Father. And after, the Bible says, and having done all, stand. When you've done everything that you've been told to do, when you've done everything right, then all you can do is stand in God's love. Just to know that He loves you and He is in the process of doing the very best for you. Amen? And we don't, you know, we have a problem with that. We, for a while, having great crusades in India, over 90% of the people that came forward for healing received their healing. Oh, I thought I was a pretty good minister out there. You come up here for healing, brother, there's a 9 out of 10 chance you're going to walk away with your healing. Come home, my mother is in bed with pancreatic cancer, and there's not a thing I can do. I prayed, I anointed, I did everything that I knew how to do. And finally, I had to depend on God's love. Amen? And it was God's love that said, it's time to take her home. I didn't like that answer. All right? But that is the answer that we had. All right? So, when we're going through these trials, number one, make sure that you have done everything the Word of God requires of you. And then number two, you just hang in there and keep trusting God. For His answer. We are the clay. He's the potter. We have no right to tell Him how things must be done. Because He's going to do it in a way that really makes an impact. Amen? And I just want to give a final illustration. Terry was in a situation where she was, she was bleeding to death, okay? And so the doctors had to rush her into the hospital, and they did this, that, and the other, and whatever, and they ended up saying, there's nothing that we can do, we'll have to, there's an experimental thing called a vena cava filter. And that may be common knowledge now, but it wasn't common knowledge back then. And so they took her in to the hospital, and Methodist Hospital, and Dr. Rome had just developed his final prototype for the vena cava filter and just got FDA approval to test it. And Terry was the first one that was approved to test this filter on. All right, now, interestingly enough, they put her in the cath lab, strapped her to the table, and then waited for 3 hours for UPS to come because they had to deliver this thing from through UPS. All right, so it finally arrives, and they put it in. She was the very first one to receive this. She is the oldest living recipient of a vena cava filter. Because of the way that it worked out, putting it in Terry, Dr. Rome was able to go to the FDA and get it approved for patients to receive it. So now if you're in Methodist Hospital and you've been in a debilitating accident and your legs don't work, or your legs and your arms don't work, prophylactically, you're going to put in a vena cava filter. Because all blood clots develop in the legs. They travel up through this saphenous junction right here, which attaches to the descending aorta, the vena cava coming down, and that's where it's coming, not the aorta, it's the vein coming up, right. And that's where the filter is, and so before it has a chance to get to your heart, to your lungs, or to your brain, the filter is stopped right there. See, I was just praying, God save my bride. God is saying, step back and take a gander at this. Not only am I going to save your bride, but I'm going to save thousands. That's how our God does things. Now, was it worth it for Terry to go through this? Hey, it's given us 30-some more years. That was in 84. They said she wouldn't live without it. And so 84 to 24, 40 years. 40 years. And in those 40 years, countless thousands. Cute conclusion. I'll stop with this. Our godson is mad about something. He's racing his back down 59. South Houston, on a motorcycle, a bike. That would be a motorcycle, all right. And a lady pulls out in front of him, and he has to ditch his bike, and it breaks his neck. So we're called over to Southwest Memorial, or Methodist Southwest. And here he is. He is paralyzed. And through God's intervention through Terry, we got him transferred over to the medical center. And we went up to see him in the hospital, and they said, oh, he's not in his room right now. He is down in the cath lab. What's he doing in the cath lab? Well, they're putting a vena cava filter in him. And Terry goes down, and guess who's putting that filter in? Dr. Rome. It may have been the last filter he ever put in, because he retired after that. And Terry walks in, and the nurse says, oh, you can't be here. Get out of here. She's trying to chase Terry off. Dr. Rome turns around and says, Terry Climby? And picks her up and swings her around and all that stuff. And he says, you are my heroine. Heroin. All right. Hi. And he said, what I've been able to do is because of you. And we did, of course, it'd be easy for Terry to say, no, what you've been able to do is because of God. And you know, but he was just so enthralled that Terry was still alive. The first filter that he ever put in, and the last filter that he ever put in. And Terry was there to see both of them. Amen? She received the first one. She watched the last one being put in. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's right. What Terry went through in 1984. So folks, our God is not just about doing miracles. He is about doing miracles. Okay? He is doing wonders. He is doing things that are beyond our wildest dreams. If we can just get out of His way and let the potter mold the clay the way that the potter says it needs to be molded, we will be part of what God is doing in this life. Amen? Okay. Amen.
After that was my last breath, and I died in 1986.
Yep. And so many times, bad illustration. You ever get up in the middle of the night and turn on the light in the kitchen, and there's little six-legged vermin running around?
Yeah.
This is Texas, okay? And of course, we want to end their lives immediately. But if you ever try, those things really move. And you try to kill them or you try to catch them or whatever. And that's how we are with God. God is saying, be still and know that I am God. But I want to try this. No, I want to try this. Oh, but if I do this over here. Oh, let's do this. God, be still and know that I am God. Amen. Mary Ann is another example. Doctor said, if she is born, if she does live, she'll be a blind vegetable. Okay? And, no, wrong. We need to learn to fall into the arms of our loving Father. Don't bother telling Him how things need to be done. He already knows. Folks, the happiest time in our lives was when we were just children and Mom and Dad shouldered all the burdens of life. Amen? And all we wanted to do was grow up. All we wanted to do was grow up, not knowing that, oh, now it's your turn to shoulder all the burdens of life. But once we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You don't have to go through life burdened down with a heavy yoke. Just surrender it to Jesus. Amen. Father God, I know I've preached long.